Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags on the market. With DB's patent hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. When I travel to Chicago in September for Top Guy Weekend, I need some great luggage, and DB is just that. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10. That's POD10. Or going to the link that are in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going. It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Flair to the attack again. Flair to
the attack. Whoa, who just ran past?
Jimmy Hart just ran. What?
I almost nailed him. Home run pass.
Please take the camera to the back. We need help. The outsiders in the back. Come on. Get. We need somebody in the back. Please.
What is he talking about? Need somebody. He's trying to get a cameraman.
The outsiders are in the back. Please.
I don't know. He's taking a cameraman out in the back.
Craig Leathers can hear us. Craig, are you going to send a cameraman back there or not? Okay. He said the outsiders were back there.
Who is where?
He said the cameraman is going to the back. Apparently the outsiders are back there, and Jimmy Hart's up on the apron of the ring. Jimmy Hart is up on the apron of the ring, and this is not a Dungeon of Doom ploy.
Yeah, this is not the place for a Dungeon of Doom.
This is serious business here. Look at him.
What's he doing?
He's going berserk. He's trying to stop this match. He's trying to get anybody he can to help, and he's got the attention of Lex Luger.
He better get out of there. They're going to nail him. Get out of there, Jimmy!
He said we need help.
Where are they going? They're going! Luger!
Luger, Sting! Wait a minute, we go to the back. Arn Anderson down! There they are!
They got baseball bats! The coward jerks!
That's Marcus Bagwell.
Arn, no, please! Arn needs help!
Everybody's left the ring here, and there's Rey Mysterio.
Hey, he dove off.
That's Rey Mysterio. There's the Cruiserweight Champion, Rey Mysterio. Oh, no! Hey! Head first into the trailer in the back.
He threw him like he was a dart.
Arn Anderson, the first man we saw down. All six wrestlers have left the ring. This match is going to be a double countout.
What match?
The Macho Man.
Hey, he's on the...
The Macho Man is on the limousine.
Trying to get the sunroof.
Oh, my God. I don't know if we can... The Macho Man is grabbing through the limousine.
I told you he's nuts.
And people are standing here.
This is too much. Where's all the security we had here?
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Your boys, the man with the magical voice, RJ, the man from the hills of West Virginia, JD Justin Davis, are here with you for another episode of the Ringside Rant. Justin, what's up, bud?
Hey, hey. Good to be back on another week of Ringside Rant. Excited for this week's topic. Once again, diving back into 1996, which we are on the 25-year anniversary of, which makes me feel very old.
Hey, kid, we're the same age, man. So I'm not that far off from you. I think you're late 84, right?
I was born the first week of 85, January 7th. So yeah. I'm
okay.
I snuck in 85.
Yeah, sons of bitches. Well, I'm summer of 84 anyways, but I digress. We're not here to talk about birthdays.
So basically, I'm definitely not as old as your old ass is what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. It was hilarious. The other day at the shoot job, buddy of mine, younger than me, younger than both of us. He's like, oh, he's complaining. Oh, I'm growing gray hair in my goatee. And I'm like, kid, look at my jawline. Look at the back, like my neck hair. It's gray. Don't give me that shit.
I know you can't look at my head hair, but look at my neck hair.
I'm going to say, you can see my neck hair. You can't see anything else. That's the only place I can fucking grow hair. That's the problem. That in my back, and I ain't taking my shirt off, but
nobody needs that.
No, nobody wants to see that shit. Trust me. I don't even
think my wife wants it. We need that about as much as we needed a giant Greg Valentine for the title match to end this Nitro. We're getting
ready. Oh my God. This was, I don't know. This was at that turning point. You know, we had the turn of Hogan, the beginning of the month. So this is starting to see the workings of adding people potentially. We're starting to see them really pick up steam as far as a heel faction. Giant has been the champ since April of this year. Flair, currently the U.S. champion, won it in the earlier this month. Harlem Heat, tag team champions for the last 2 days. They've been going back and forth with the Steiners. Luger's the TV champ, and then Mysterio, who we'll talk about later on, as he was a piece of...
Right?
Or right, he's Cruiserweight, but he was part of a, summer game as far as a lawn dart. In this episode,
yeah, I think this pretty much what he did, or what was done to him, is pretty much what happened to the little one. What the little enforcer did to Jay-Z at Top Guy or Low-Key Big Hog Weekend.
I'm looking forward to that. I know Jay-Z, as we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, Jay-Z and his girlfriend are actually headed to the Bojangles Arena tonight for AEW, which shocking that the Bojangles champion is going to an event at the Bojangles Arena.
I actually did some research this week on the Bojangles Arena. I'm ashamed to say, but I'm that big of a nerd, because I heard Tony talking about it.
Oh, at WHW, yeah.
Well, it may have been that. Yeah, I think it was.
It had to be, yeah.
Well, we had a Top Guy talk the other night with Tony, too. I was trying to think if it was that or not. But anyways, he was talking about it, so I started looking it up. That place was built in, I think, the mid-50s. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was the largest single span like dome in the world. And then they shuttered it in 1988 and nothing happened with it. And then they brought it back in 2001. And now it's the Bojangles Arena. There's your Bojangles Arena history.
In the weeds, with sponsored by Bojangles. Yeah, that's I have had Bojangles twice in my life, and they've been fit. Both times have been absolutely fantastic. Obviously, they're not up here in the Northeast. I don't think they're out by you, right?
We did have two of them in Huntington for like two, maybe a year. And then they both went away. Mm-hmm. It sucks and the funny thing is, when it first opened here in Huntington, there was lines like out to the highway to get into it.
Yeah.
And then like a year later, they were both closed. So Bojangles has been stolen from me, and I'm pretty sad about it. But anytime I go south, it's one of the first stops. I love me some Bojangles.
Well, hopefully, I don't know if I'll have to Google the internet and see if they're out in the Chicago area when we're out there for Top Guy Weekend. And at this point, it's going to be about a month, really. Mm-hmm. I'm still going back and forth with the Canadian one himself, if he can be allowed across the border. And if not, I'm looking at flights out of Rochester here or out of Buffalo, and it's changing every day pretty much.
I'm pretty much sad. I'm excited. It's gonna be exciting to see everyone. Hopefully a lot of the listeners to the show, I know Money Mike and Mommy Money Mom will be there as well.
There you go.
And I think Amy, who listens, yeah. I think she's gonna go.
I think Devin's gonna be there too. I think
Devin's going. I know James Sorensen, I think, will be there. So yep. We will have a fun time meeting. I've met a lot of people, Jacksonville there, yeah. And Loki Big Hog Weekend and other events. But I know I'll be meeting a lot of new people too, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely, without question. One guy that I have not yet met in person that I really would like to one of these times is Mr. Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring with him right now.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
So we briefly touched on the Harlem Heat being tag team champions at this time, Justin. They've been going back and forth with the Steiners as far as trading back and forth the straps. This basically was ensuring that Harlem Heat is the six-time tag team champions. This basically has been happening on all the household loops. At this time, they were still running them. I believe a couple of years down the road, they wouldn't be. Eric Bischoff would put an end to that quickly to save a little bit of money. But Harlem Heat and Steiners, are they the two of the bigger tag teams of all time in general? Or do you think it was just these are the two best at the time?
Definitely the two best WCW had at the time, and maybe the two best. I mean, WWE, if you look at this time, look over at them, there really wasn't much going on with their tag team division. I mean, I think Owen and Davey may have been the tag team champions, but they're two singles stars put together. They're not really what you would consider, like, when you think of the best tag teams of all time, you don't think of Owen and Davey. You think of, tag teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, WCW's tag team division was probably a lot stronger than WWE's right at this point. And in my opinion, those two can be on anyone's Mount Rushmore of tag teams, and I don't think anyone could bitch because, I mean, they're...
Yeah, I would have wanted to see when they had this whole invasion angle, these two tag teams come over. Obviously, we know what ended up happening with Booker coming over and Stevie never did. And then later on Scott coming over and Rick never has. And like I said, he might've just been one of those things where he's collecting more money at the end. And he's like, why the hell am I getting, now he's part of the school board or something. So it's like,
I think after that debacle, the end of WCW, he was just like, I'm done. We don't need to do it anymore.
Well, and I think there was a lot of people though, too. That was the problem is, guys that didn't have to wrestle, if they didn't want to wrestle, they didn't have to. Yeah, guys like Hall, Nash, Hogan, Flair, Sting, Mysterio, they're getting paid to stay home. And then what the hell am I going to go? It's funny. I was talking to somebody at work the other day about, at least here in New York State, I don't know how they are out by you, but people are getting paid hand over fist just to sit home and do jack shit instead of working. And I'm like, shit, that's kind of similar to what WCW did with all these guys at the end in there 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, shit, if I'd get bored after a while, but Christ, I'd stay home for a week or two and get paid.
I will say this about the Steiners. I love watching their matches. Mm-hmm. To me, their matches are some of the best, funnest matches to watch, most fun I should say, because they get it in, you know what I mean? They're snug. I like their moves. Scott's a lot of Scotty's moves are pretty cool. Those, like his finisher that he did in the match in this Nitro, where it's like kind of like a stand, like he holds the guy up and then pile drives him. Mm-hmm. That's a cool ass move. Like, they were just hard hitters and they made it look real. And I'm a fan of that. So mm-hmm. I was always a fan of watching any Steiner matches.
Well, and I think with the Harlem Heat and the Steiners is the whole feud that they had pretty much for a long, long time. And they complemented each other so well. Is like you said, they're the Steiners being a little stiff-ski at times or most of the time. And the Harlem Heat being the heel tag team that they were, whether they had Sister Sherry or whether they had Robert Parker.
Yeah, Tom Parker. And if you guys are watching, if you go back and watch this Nitro, watch the end of the Steiners match, and they do a instant replay at the end, and they show one of Rick's clotheslines, and it looks like it fucking took his head off. I mean, he drilled the dude.
But that was their MO pretty much their whole careers. Even if you go back to the early NWA days with Rick, when he was the TV champ, and I don't think he was ever US champ, was he? I think it was TV.
I don't
right?
think so. Yeah, he was TV.
Scott was more of the US, but later on though. But you knew what you're going to get with these guys. You're going to get your ass kicked. Whether you get a little stisky, you get a couple of bruises, or a couple of shiners, or whatever. You had to come to expect that from those two.
They remind you a lot of the Legion of Doom. Legion of Doom the same way.
No, did you? Would you rather have you're starting a promotion at that time, or if you want to sign people, who would you rather have, the Steiners or LOD?
Probably the Steiners, just because they can do a little more in the ring. Yeah. And I love the Road Warriors and they are awesome, but they were kind of limited in their skill set. I felt like the Steiners could do more and make it look a little cooler. So for me, but you know, the gimmick is definitely over with the Road Warriors, probably more than the Steiners.
Right. But you started to see, I believe it was this time or a little bit after this, was DiBiase's starting to come out with the Steiners. And obviously that's planting the seed, hindsight being what it is. I think at that time, they're starting to plant the seed of Scott turning on Rick.
Yeah.
And obviously we knew what that led to, Scott joining the NWO and what have you, which I think if he wasn't popular then, that's just skyrocketed him even more, because I don't think if he didn't go to the NWO, that being Scott Steiner, I don't think he would have been as popular later on, whether it be his TNA run, his WWE run. I don't think we're talking,
you know, it definitely,
Scott Steiner as a champion.
His NWO run helped turn him into Big Papa Pump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, that brought him a whole new gimmick and a main event status there toward the end of his career.
Right, and I think the NWO in general just helped.
Also,
Chris,
he blew up like a fucking blimp, but that's a whole nother issue.
But that's a whole nother issue that we could talk about later. But we can honestly say that a lot of people really flourished being associated with the NWO. Another guy that really skyrocketed after that was Jeff Jarrett. When he joined the NWO, he left. Then he had the heavyweight title run there at the end. Good, bad, and different. That's up to everybody's opinion, but I would even go as far as saying, hey, we wouldn't see whether you're a fan of the promotion or not, whether you're a fan of TNA or not, I don't think we would have seen NWA TNA if Jarrett didn't join the NWO or was booked with the NWO, whatever way you want to look at it. Because in a roundabout way, everybody's should recognize that. Because without a lot of this stuff, we wouldn't have professional wrestling that we did, and we wouldn't have it what it is now. You know, because it's kind of like a trickle down effect. If Jarrett didn't go in the NWO, then we wouldn't have TNA. If we didn't have TNA, we wouldn't have AJ Styles or Samoa Joe or Daniels or Kazarian. So it's a trickle-down effect. You see a lot of the stuff that comes from the NWO. And that's why, like I said, I might have said in previous shows, I think the NWO is the greatest faction of all time. Earlier on. I'm not talking about later on in 2000s when everybody and their fucking mother was part of the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
But
and you know what I just thought about? Without TNA, we wouldn't have had Tony Schiavone in a Kiss shirt.
And blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
I still say he should dye his hair.
And heel Schiavone, which is basically him just being his fucking self.
Well, right. That's basically an every week occurrence on WHW. But the one thing that really got to me with this whole, at this time, was Larry Zbyszko, first of all, in commentary, was whatever. Fantastic performer, fantastic wrestler. I'm not going to discredit that. Commentary, not the best. But calling the NWO the New World Order, every single time I saw it, I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, I know you're trying to get him over as a heel faction, all that stuff, but think of new material, man. He's a smart dude. He's been in the business forever. Think of something new, man.
Yeah, it was just his little nickname. You know how, you know, some other former orange man that lived in Washington, D.C. likes to give everyone nicknames. Maybe, you know, maybe Mr. Zbyszko is the same way.
Well, I guess we could always ask him, but this Nitro was one of the first ones that we saw that came from that emulated in Disney World down there in Florida, in Orlando. Did you enjoy these outdoor shows?
Yeah,
as far as a way of cross, because it's a way of cross promoting, because you're seeing a lot of the stuff, and they even did the same thing because they taped Saturday 605 there, right?
Yeah, I just always thought it was cool to give that outside feel. When I was a kid, and Nitro would be, Tony be like, "We're live from Club La Vila in Panama City." I'd be like, "Fuck yeah, this is gonna be a cool show. We're at Club La Vila."
And then you watched it, and then it's like, fuck.
But the funny thing was, like, those four open seats in the front row right by the ring, and then the one fat guy with the orange hat sitting there eating popcorn, like, sitting by himself, and he looked so fucking bored the whole show. It was just, that's what I enjoyed watching most of the time while, like, Mike Enos is fighting. I'm watching the fat guy in the front row, what he's doing.
So we saw, I'm glad you brought up Mike Enos. What was your favorite rough and ready match?
I thought you was gonna ask me, well, you know, what's your favorite Mike Enos match?
Well, but the thing is, though, rough and ready Mike Enos and Dick Slater, I there is a joke in there somewhere, and I'm just gonna leave it out there, and you guys can discuss it and let us know what jokes you've come up with.
I'm gonna pass.
But yeah, I never got this tag team. Dick Slater, obviously, his time has come and gone. Even Mike Enos, we saw a lot of his work there in WWF. I think
Mike Enos' time never came or went.
But he was a Beverly brother, though, right? In WWF,
so.
Though. I think he kicked off WrestleMania one year against Davey and Luger. I think it was like 94. Four, yeah. That was a great time for the WWF, let me tell you. It goes to show you, and like we said when we started off this segment, the tag teams divisions aren't that great outside of maybe three or four. More so, obviously, like you mentioned before, Justin, in WWF, but WCW is where tag team wrestling reigns superior in 96, anyways, and even going forward than that.
Yeah. I mean, I know Dick Slater's a legend and stuff, but, you know, for us, he was not in our time period. So he was still around, yeah, and he was there, but he wasn't anything other than, you know, a mid-card, you know, match that really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So obviously this episode of Raw, excuse me, I knew I was going to say it. I knew I was going to say
it. Come on, JR.
AEW Raw or something. Cecil Fritz. So what, I totally lost my train of thought, but this episode of Nitro, there we go, was obviously known for the whole backstage segment. We'll get into that in our listeners' questions, but was this pretty much, to me anyways, this was one of those first moments when I looking back at it now, is when the Attitude Era really started and was at its really finest, when you had a lot of this crap going backstage with the NWO, and you look on the other side of it, WWF really wasn't doing anything to really offset that or try to compete with it. Not yet anyways.
No, not yet. In the summer of 96, they're still very, kayfabing and all that, pretty much there. You start to see a little bit of it in the fall of 96 with the Austin Brett feud that starts to kind of kick off the Attitude Era of WWE, but it's still a few months away at least or more before they kind of start getting into their spot where they're trying to now react to what's going on, you know, on WCW.
Yeah. And it, because it's always been a conversation across so many different platforms, across so many different podcasts, good, bad, and different. Everybody has their own opinion on really when the Attitude Era really started. And I've always been one for to believe that it didn't really start until Scott Hall came out on Nitro there. A la another Mike Enos match. So we couldn't watch Mike Enos wrestle. God damn it. But yeah, it's a conversation that will always be discussed till the end of time, pretty much. I think anyways, as far as when the Attitude Era really started, because everybody now, when we're seeing the, this can't call it Wednesday Night Wars anymore, but this AEW WWE war, or basically anybody versus WWE. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should bring back the Attitude Era. We should bring back this. We should bring back that. No, go back and watch this stuff. Go over on Peacock and watch it, because it doesn't really stand up to really hold a candle to pretty much of anything.
Yep. Go jump on that cock.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. That's not going to end well. So we're not editing. I'm not editing that out. I don't care.
I cannot be censored.
The one I found. Right. Okay, Corny.
Goddamn.
Motherfucker. So this was one of the nights, too, where we didn't see it very often. Is Arn Anderson was supposed to get the heavyweight title match against a giant, but it was taken out backstage. What's up with that?
Yeah, I'm glad. Obviously they replace him with Greg Valentine, which is like, that's the what's up with that. But I mean, I also am kind of glad that we didn't have to see Arn job out to the giant. They kind of saved Arn's reputation. They're like, let's get him beat up in the back. That way you don't have to go out there and do that.
So you're going to save him against the giant, but then you're going to have him lose to Renegade.
Exactly.
Looking back at it now, because I remember watching this Nitro live when it came out here in 96. And I'm like, God damn it. Forget everybody wanted to always pick on the smaller guy, pick on Mysterio, make him a fucking lawn dart. It just blew my mind on how they sold it. Getting the fucking cops called on him. I'm like,
Eric said that national news was calling at the end of the show. He's like, national news is calling. We have to give them.
But that goes to show you where you do something this drastic in general, as far as wrestling goes, and everybody thinks it's fucking real.
I guess in 1996 we did. I don't know how real I thought it was, even being a little slapdick back then, but I'm sure people, you know, we're buying into the gimmick.
Well, even to this day, it's always been on top of so many other things in WCW at this time. How much of it was actually real? How much did they actually hate each other? How much did...
I'm guessing some of that Benoit and Taskmaster shit was real.
Well, no, but that... Well, to a certain extent, obviously, but... As far as the NWO is concerned, because you're starting to see a lot of the NWO versus the Horsemen. And if it was me, I'm like, dude, collect the fucking paycheck, man. Most likely when you're going to face the NWO, whomever, like whether it be this Outsiders or Hogan, you're going to be fucking main eventing, man. So collect that goddamn paycheck. And that's what a lot of people know. They say, oh, it's garbage then. It was garbage wrestling. tell it to the fucking bank. They're still making money. If you ended up watching the, I believe it was the Austin show there on the network with Kevin Nash, they talked about it where they're seeing, you know, kids my son's age, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, wearing NWO shirts now. Not even being remotely close to being the age of when they were actually in their high point. But it is guys like myself that are having kids now, male, boys, girls, whatever, and they're showing them. That's what I've shown my son. He loves it.
I know this is maybe an off the wall idea, but it's been 25 years. And I know they tried to bring it back in like 2001 or whatever, but I think you could maybe bring it back, you know, now that it's been a while, and have a little group start up again and start saying, you know, fuck you, Vince, we're taking over, blah, blah, blah. It could work. Put the shirts back on. Bring DiBiase back out to manage.
Oh, gee. Well, yeah, he's having so much fun with Cameron Grimes and LA Knight now. You saw that last night if you watched NXT on Tuesday. But we're starting to see a lot of that, I think, in AEW anyways. We're not seeing anything like that in WWE, because the quicker they put these factions together, the quicker they're broken up. And you're starting to see, like, Pinnacle. You're starting to see Jericho's group. You're starting to see all these factions saying a kind of like an F you to the man. I'm still saying, this has always been my philosophy on it, is, fuck, why don't we bring back the Horsemen? But you have Arn's son there. Why, you can bring Tully's daughter in, Tessa. You got two spots there. It's clear that Charlotte's not coming over as far as the Flair goes.
I think I'd put Hangman Page as the head of it.
Yeah, but the thing, well, you can definitely put him in the put him in the Flair spot, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got oh crap, what's Arn's son's name again?
Brock.
Brock, there you go. I don't know why I didn't remember that. You put Brock in, obviously Arn's spot is the enforcer. You put Tessa's there as kind of the mouthpiece or muscle or whatever. And then, but who do you put in the fourth? Would you put a guy? Oh, you know what you could do? Put a guy in there, like, because what do we have? We have Flair, Arn, Tully. So we need probably Ole kind of guy. But how about Spears?
Yeah.
And then you have either Arn or actually, no, don't do Arn. Do Tully. Tully as the JJ. As a character, because we know Arn's going to be part of with Cody, but I don't think you get those names in there like a Cody or anything. You kind of keep it low down under the radar.
It'll be interesting to see if they put Brock and Arn together eventually, or if they keep them apart, or what's going to happen.
See, my thing was, I think he's doing it. They're doing it the right way, but back in my mind, I was thinking, I'm like, why don't you bring him in as Brock Lundy? But you run in
with a stupid fedora.
but you know what I mean, though? Because you're starting to see, and I'm not comparing Charlotte to Brock by any means, but you're starting to see a lot of kickback with the whole Flair aspect of it. Excuse me. And not everybody enjoys it. Maybe bring him in as, you know, his shoot name. But that's me. Like I said, it may or may not have worked. Obviously, we haven't seen him in a couple of weeks at least, right?
I haven't seen him in a long time because I really don't watch the show that much. I get my news from Twitter.
Oh, you're one of those fans, huh?
Yeah, that's me.
All day, every day.
Hey, I did try to watch Raw this week, and I got through two segments.
Yeah, I did too. I just wanted to see the whole Cena thing after they had Money in the Bank. That's the only thing I wanted to see that night after Money in the Bank. And then this past week, I'm like, I'll give him a shot. And then, like, I might have lasted maybe three segments. I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm turning it off. I'm watching a ball game or something.
Well, I couldn't figure out, okay, they're having the United States champion come out and wrestle someone for a United States contenders match. So aren't you wrestling the champion? You're not, I mean, but it was like he had to win to, like, I don't get it. It's fucking fucked up booking. Bruce, well, what are you doing?
But it's the same thing.
Bruce,
with
take your pills.
Yeah. But it's the same thing with Charlotte and Nikki. Yeah. Is that you're facing her for that, for a chance at her title, but it's still, I don't know. It just baffles me. But one thing that doesn't baffle me is the great talent that Mr. Rich Palladino has. So let's send it up to the ring to him.
Right. It is now time for Rants and Raves.
So it's now time for my favorite segment of the week is Rants and Raves. This episode, Hacksaw Jim Duggan is facing, who is he facing at this time? I should have written it down. Enos, that's what it was. I think it was somebody else.
No, it was Enos.
Whatever. It's not the point.
Yep.
He won with the whole
he puts tape
fist
on his hand.
Tape fist.
Yeah.
And he beat him with that.
The old tape.
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like,
tape
really?
Is lethal. Lethal, like, tape.
I'm like, the tape's over, I guess. But
that's working tape.
Yeah, that's working tape. It's not masking tape. It's working masking tape.
You got that at Tapes R Us.
It comes with every ring, by the way. Actually, no, it comes with every pair of trunks that you buy. Anyways, Duggan in his post-match promo with Mean Gene.
Duggan gives like the most serious interview he's ever given in his life. Like, he could be wrestling WrestleMania for the title. He'd be still doing his stupid gimmick bullshit.
Oh!
Yeah, but no, we're talking about this terrible event that happened, and he's upset. Well, he's upset about Hogan, you know, switching to the NWO.
But why? Duggan calls Hogan a great technical wrestler.
Well, he is compared to Duggan.
Well, shit. My 9-year-old son's a great
technical wrestler compared to Duggan.
Jesus. Hogan, I've met Duggan once or twice. Great guy.
I probably ask Hogan, like, hey, man, how do you do that? That back scratch that you do. Can you show me how to do that?
it's like 1983 moves. It's like, what the fuck? I'm like, you might as well just like poke him in the eye, do the whole flare routine or something. But this, it goes to show you that this was the tell of the tape pretty much for 96 in wrestling in general. Because WCW at this time was kind of taking guys off the scrap heap. Mike Enos, Duggan, insert here. It's a laundry list of got competitors to that.
Big Boss Man, Earthquake. Yeah.
I was Jimmy Hart's not the scrap heap. Jimmy Hart's great, but Greg Valentine.
Yeah.
And you're trying to make them out for more than they are. It's just like, what the, why? Why are you trying to make Duggan more than he should? Send him out there, pat him on the ass. Hey, go have a good match.
For Duggan, though, it was one of the more competent promos I've ever heard him give.
Well, yeah, that too. But you go forward another year or so. Now he's a fucking Canadian sympathizer, wherever the hell he was.
Yeah, it was a couple of years. Yeah, about 3 years later. I think it was like 99. They started doing that stupid shit.
But it's just like, what? Why? And I know that's just shitty booking, but I'm like, why would you? I would rather have him turn
I'm
him
going
heel.
Back to last week, put him in the NWO. I'm saying Duggan in the NWO.
but that would actually get him over. Look what it did for so many, like we said previous.
Hey-o, for life.
Ah, that's a shirt. But it got so many other people over. Why couldn't it get? It would probably done fucking wonders for Duggan.
Imagine Duggan getting out of the limo with Miss Elizabeth.
Oh my God. I'm speechless. I'm lost of speech. I have no speech.
Duggan in a suit.
Or Canadian tuxedo. There you go. Get him in a Canadian tuxedo. Well, no, but if you think about it, if you think about it this time,
you know, when
Dunn was over.
When they turned him into the Canadian whatever, he should have came out in a Canadian tuxedo instead of that red zip-up jumpsuit or whatever he was in.
It looks like he never takes the goddamn thing off. He wore it every damn show.
But the Canadian tuxedo would have been over when Duggan flipped heel.
Well, but even if you think about it, 96, anywhere you look, you got denim vests, you got denim jackets, you got denim whatever. Get it over, man.
I'm in my West Virginia tuxedo right now. Look.
Oh, Jesus. Nipples. Oh, God damn. Good thing this is an audio podcast, because I think so many people would have just ran to the bathroom and yacked up their lunch. This segment of In the Weeds on the Ringside Rant is brought to you by Bojangles. Great food done right.
And left Huntington.
We can't transition anywhere but fucking up from here. But constantly, whether you watch any Nitro you're watching at this time, even going forward until they cease to record the episodes, was WCW Saturday Night. I was always, and I'm pretty sure I believe in there are conversations before, you were a fan of WCW Saturday Night. That was pretty much when I started watching WCW. It was 605 TBS. You didn't see the big names all that much until Nitro. But goddamn, that set was fucking key, man. I love the WCW Saturday Night set.
Hey, but you saw Bobby Eaton every fucking Saturday night at this time. I love Bobby Eaton. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, Saturday night, like you said, it was going to be a bunch of squash matches. It's basically like Wrestling Superstars, you know, mm-hmm. kind of turned into that Saturday show.
Right.
It is what it is, but it was fun. I mean, at the time I was such a wrestling fan, I would take in anything that they put on. So, like, I was watching Raw and Nitro, and of course I was watching WCW Saturday night and Thunder when they got that on. So I was taking it all in. Thunder kind of turned into Saturday night. Just a little more hyped up thing, but it kind of sucked.
But that's the thing, when you start becoming a wrestling fan, you have to have those little things to get you into wrestling. And Saturday night main event was, that's what it was. Or it's not Saturday main event, Saturday night, or WCW Saturday night superstars for WWF, Saturday night main event for WWF got you into it. Because
I loved Saturday Night Main Event, man, on NBC in the late
80s. Because everybody, awesome. But everybody had it. That's the thing.
The music was great. You had Vince's promos. A lot of times, like Hulk Hogan would do a promo at the beginning of the show, like, tonight, brother, I'm going to, you know, and it's like, I got you psyched. I was ready.
Well, and I think that's what, at this time, because they didn't have, obviously, clearly, they didn't have the internet capability like they do now. Where you could put wrestling on any goddamn night that you want. And they pretty much do that now. But 96, even earlier than that, in the early 90s, that's basically what every kid did on Saturday night. Because it would prelude the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, well,
going into that with your local news and then going into Saturday Night Live.
Well, for me, at least on TBS, I think most Saturdays were this way. You would have WCW Saturday Night on at 6:05. That mm-hmm. would be an hour. And then the Braves would come on at 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be over. And then you'd have your local news, you know, to watch. And then you'd have Saturday Night Live. That was a lot of my Saturday nights right there.
Well, and that's...
And I hate the Braves, but well, I so had to watch them because at the time you didn't have too many choices.
Well, but that's the thing. But that's the thing. And you get to... we've had the conversation before and I've talked to other people about it, but growing up we had the satellite dish. So we had the capability of watching TBS, TNT. So I grew up watching a lot of the Braves baseball.
You got
the Cubs.
You got the Cubs and the Braves because you got WGN.
Well, but you also got the White Sox too. Like offset when the Cubs weren't playing or it wasn't the matchup they wanted or whatever. And I grew up and I'm like, Christ, I always grew up watching Sandberg and a Dawson with the Cubs, and you got Thomas and Canerico with
and
the
I was
White
always
Sox.
I was always pissed off as a Reds fan. I'm like, why can't Marge Schott own a fucking cable news station so we can have them on every night? Why do I gotta watch the Braves?
Well, now it's like, now I don't know, at least here in the more towards me, now you can get Sports Time Ohio, so you can get all the Reds and in the Indians games.
Yeah, now and you have the MLB it. Now you have the MLB package and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
when but everybody wants baseball. Well, back then you didn't have shit. You had to like pay a pretty goddamn penny to get one of those satellite dishes in your bag.
You had a Saturday afternoon game usually on like NBC or CBS or whatever, because you had This Week in Baseball, and then after This Week in Baseball, there would be a baseball game on. I think usually.
Dude, who was that idiot that always? I can't remember. The really tall, skinny guy. That always, it wasn't Garvey. He was a guy that played. He was like, I had a
Jim
cup
Palmer?
Of coffee. No. This guy was like a scrub.
Oh, I don't know.
I can't. Lions. Steve Lyons.
Oh, Steve Lyons. Yeah, the guy that took his pants off in the middle of a baseball
exactly.
game.
He was always on This Week in Baseball on Fox or TBS or whatever. And I'm like, dude, damn, fucking heel. God damn it. Anyways, to get back
that
on
was
topic.
That was in the weeds, Devin Dowling, right there.
There you go. And hopefully you guys enjoyed that baseball talk, but because there's not really too much to talk about baseball nowadays with the stupid fucking Yankees that blow a five-run fucking league.
This is rants and raves, right? Yeah. So I'm going to rant. I'm going to rave here.
That's fine. Go ahead.
All you motherfuckers.
Oh, Jesus.
If I have to hear one more time by somebody on Facebook how their heart is broken and this country is going to hell in a handbasket because the Indians changed their name.
Oh, my God. How does it
affect you, bro? Just shut up and go on with your life. It's a nickname for a fucking baseball team. Shut the hell up. I see politicians talking about it. Like, don't you guys have anything better to work on? Maybe like childhood poverty or something, instead of worrying about the fucking Cleveland Indians changing their fucking name. Okay, I'm done. That was this week's rant for me.
I don't know where we can go from here, get any better, but let's talk about Glacier. You can get better than Glacier. They
should have changed their name to the Cleveland Glaciers.
There you go. even though they're in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, there used to be a glacier back in the Ice Age that covered half of Ohio, and that's why the southern part is hilly and the northern part is flat. See, there's your history lesson for the day.
Tell me more, history, Mr. History. Tell me more. Did you think did they hype Glacier too much?
Oh, absolutely. God, I just watched that promo, another Glacier vignette, when I was watching this show. Dude, he's just doing like stupid kicks and karate chops. And it's like, what? Come on, bro.
But what would you have done with him, though?
Nothing. Stay home.
But how would you book him, though? Because obviously, Ray Lloyd, the wrestler.
Yes.
How can I put this? He was a hell of a lot better than people gave him credit for, and he just got saddled with a shit gimmick. Or what at that? Well, looking back at it now,
him and Eric were karate buddies. So
right,
you know,
right. So there you go. Blame Eric? Is that what you're saying, basically?
Yes, I blame Eric.
Well, that's not cool.
I don't care. Somebody's got to take the blame. Listen, Eric's got big shoulders. He's taking a lot of blame for a lot of bigger shit.
A lot of shit. But yeah, it goes to show you at this time, because it really has, Mortal Kombat was obviously, Eric's talked about this, and Mortal Kombat was huge at this time. So why not put somebody in that gimmick and try to get and sell merchandise? That's pretty much what it was.
We were talking last week about how like the Diamond Cutter was over as a finisher.
Right.
Well, so was that Get Over Here finish on Mortal Kombat game. That finish was over too.
Well, but it's just like up, up, down, down, left, right, up, down, whatever. I'm like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, I always play that because my buddy always had the Sega Genesis. So we always played Mortal Kombat. And now it's like, oh my God, why are we fucking doing this? Really?
Mortal Kombat was over at my dad's bowling alley on the arcade game.
But I just
play your buddy.
I don't know. I just never got it. I don't know.
I'm ready to do this rapid fire here. This, who do you like better, Luger in the WCW, Luger in NWO? I'm ready to roll with this. This looks interesting.
All right. So we got, well, I'll go through the list of people that actually got back to us on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. If you don't follow us already, please follow us. We posed the question of which of these do you like, and or what order would you put them in as far as popularity, whatever. So we are going to start with Lori Young and Uncle Jesse. No, not that Uncle Jesse. But they said,
cut
in this
out.
Cut. Yeah. No, that's the other guy.
That's I know. Dave Coulier.
He's Canadian, eh?
Yeah, just a little bit. And apparently he got a song written about him by Alanis Morissette, but that's a whole nother issue.
Oh, God damn it. Anyway, so they have
Canadian love
more and more every week. So they put in this order of how they, we'll discuss it after we go through this, but they have in this order, WCW Luger, NWO Savage, and WCW Sting. So basically it was either, which would you prefer, WCW Luger or NWO Luger, so on and so forth. The Shining Wizards podcast, which are great supporters of the show, were on their network as well. They have Black and White NWO Sting, NWO Macho Man, just for his feud against DDP, which we covered last week on this show. So go back and check it out now if you haven't already. And he doesn't really have any thoughts on Luger, which tends to be a lot of people's opinion on a lot of things Luger does. Devin Dowling makes an appearance on this week's episode. He didn't ask a question, but he got in on this. Devin Dowling, great friend of the show, has WCW Luger and WCW Sting and NWO Macho Man.
Yep.
And then Mike Spear, who's a new listener of the show, basically just said that he liked WCW Savage over everybody. Coach Rosie, great supporter of the show, wants the 2021 version of Lex Luger over all of them.
Good answer.
Yeah. Good answer. We can't get much, but we can't go into depth on that, obviously. But
I mean, for the most part, I agree with Lori and I think Devin there with the WCW Luger, NWO Savage, WCW Sting. I think that's the correct answer on that. And although I do love WCW Savage, but I don't know, Savage is just always cooler as a heel for me.
Right. And even our friends over at the Get Chew podcast were in favor of the Crow Sting, which I think we could talk about too. Is whenever you see Sting, it's over, I think, because it's just, Sting was over with everybody, man. Whether he was Wolfpack Sting, whether he was Crow Sting, whether he was Surfer Sting, whatever, he was over, man. Whether you liked him or not, hated him, he was still over in my book.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sting, you know, Sting was hugely over in 97 as Crow Sting, dropping out of the rafters, being, you know, there for a while you thought NWO was like going to win this war and take over. And Sting was always the one guy that you kind of put your faith in, like, oh, we still got Sting. And he's like a crow now and he's badass. So, yeah, I'm in on that.
But it goes to show you that you get a lot of these guys will go back and forth so many different times. And I think they'll get over even more than before. And I think the perfect person for that was Macho Man in NWO, because he was another one that did so well. Got elevated so much, from being in the NWO, because WCW, it's like, oh, all right, well, whatever. You just could be beat up by the NWO. That's basically what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, before we go to our listeners' questions for the week, we're here, Mysterio. Say there's a fourth man. There's a fourth man. Who would it be? Wrong answers only.
Wrong answers only. Who would the fourth man be? Wrong answers. It's the shark. Oh my God, it's the shark. He's the fourth man.
I say it's a cock-a-doodle-doodle man. It's the Terry red fuck, it's a red fucking rooster.
Oh, dude, that would be awesome if he came into with a red streak down his
hair. Oh my God, you would I would absolutely piss myself. Absolutely. And I'm like,
Terry Taylor is the right wrong answer there. That's it,
it's
no
got
doubt.
It's got to be the right the most correct wrong answer, we should say.
Oh my Imagine God. People's heads would explode if they're like, if Hogan's like, listen, brother, I've been searching far and wide. Here he is. And people would be like, what the fuck is this?
The newest member of the NWO. Now, okay. But would he, what bird would he be then? Would he couldn't be the Red Rooster.
The Cardinal.
He'd have to be the Black Crow or something. He'd have to be the Blackbird.
No, I think
the vulture. The vulture. Yeah. There you go with the big wings.
I say bring him in as the Cardinal. Just completely rip off the Red Rooster gimmick and just call him the Cardinal to piss off Vince.
Or just the Red Bird. There you go. Or you could just call, hey, get a cross promotion with the Cincinnati Reds. Just call him Red.
Hey, don't bring the Reds into this Terry Taylor shit. How dare you?
Why not? They sucked at this time anyways.
Well, that's true. We were pretty bad in 96.
But one guy that's never been bad in his career is Mr. Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring with him now.
It's listener questions.
All right, Justin, it is time for our listeners' questions of the week. We have three this week. Money Mike's here. Devin got in the other segment. And we have two new listeners' awesome. Questions this week.
Always
so,
love to have new questions, new people asking questions. That's cool.
Always love it. So we'll start off with the money man himself, Money Mike. He asked, there are reports that WCW got some heat with Disney MGM over the years for the Kevin Nash launching Rey Mysterio into a trailer incident and park residents believing this was an actual, quote, shoot fight, end quote. Do you think a segment or a promo such as this could produce in wrestling today that is so realistic that people believe it's real, or has wrestling gotten so, quote, over the top that everybody believes everything they see is predetermined, end quote?
Yeah, I think everyone pretty much knows everything you see on that TV is a work. I mean, hell, we even had real shit happen, like the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, come on.
And
we didn't have one goddamn
I got
Bret
it in.
Hart.
I got
we
it
have,
in.
We didn't have one
I
Bret
didn't
Hart.
Say his name.
Not,
I
no,
didn't say his name.
It's implied.
But I'm just saying people you even thought that was a work.
You see that vein in my fucking head right now? You give me that. That's going to be a bad. I stopped myself. I was going to say, you give me that vein every week, but that's going to be taken so out of context.
I'm just saying the one thing that was a shoot, people still thought it was a work. So
good thing I wasn't drinking water when I was just spit all over the place.
People now think everything is a work and everything is a work. Yeah. Now, I will say, no wonder people freaked out because you got little kids in Disneyland and you got ambulances and shit flying into the, you know. So I can see why that freaked people out.
Well, you're starting to see. I don't think you could do that. I think they could do it. I don't think you could do it in WWE anymore. Just because WWE is more of a family oriented, not so much anymore, but earlier, I'd say last year or so was more of a family oriented program where AEW isn't. Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. There's certain parts of AEW that I could let my son watch, but there's certain parts.
I don't know. Roman Reigns was talking about the missionary position the other day.
Yeah, but that's the thing where my son doesn't know jack shit about. Hopefully not. But anyways, but I think they could do a lot of that in AEW because you're starting to see a lot of that shit that they did with the Young Bucks before they turned and Jericho's group there. But you can't be too sure. You got to be cautious nowadays because everybody's all butthurt over, butthurt over a lot of things. But big thanks to Money Mike for that. Hopefully we answer that somewhat, not yell in your ear too much about fucking Bret Hart. So our next question comes from Grant Backshaw. We'll follow him on Twitter at MGB Graham. Great show over there that he does. Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast right on the Visionaries Global Media Network that we're also associated with. Try to do that all in one breath. But he asked, with it mentioning Greg Sachs getting the win in NASCAR for Team WCW the previous weekend to this airing, if AEW or WWE had to sponsor a driver, who would fit each brand the best? So I'm assuming I took it as a driver for AEW and a driver for WWE, correct?
Yeah, and a sponsor. I got to come. I had to sponsor a driver.
Oh, had to sponsor a driver.
Who would fit each brand the best? Okay, no, no sponsors, just what driver?
Just what driver?
I don't watch it every week like I used to. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head of past guys, like Jeff Gordon's kind of a corporate dude. He probably fit the WWE better than AEW. But guys now, like I think Brad Keselowski maybe for AEW. I mean, Jeff Gordon for WWE. I mean, but yeah, Brad K maybe has that attitude about him. He might be a fun guy to be AEW's driver. And WWE, since they're kind of more corporate and buttoned down, I'm going to go with Chase Elliott for the WWE.
I know the name. I can't place my finger. Wasn't his father a driver too?
Yeah, Bill Elliott.
Bill
yeah.
Elliott. Okay, that's what I thought. Or maybe it was Uncle
Chase. Chase was last year's champion. He won at like 24 years. I think he's 24. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick, I don't think these guys were, I think one guy was a former champion. I don't think the other guy was, but for AEW, when you think AEW, you think young, good looking, spry. Joey Logano for AEW. He's a young, brash, young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
A New England guy like you.
Yeah, fuck damn.
Of course you pick him.
Of course. There's nobody from fucking Buffalo or Rochester that drives. And not that I know of anyways, that's on NASCAR. Anyways, but, you know, no big attitude, knock you down if, you know, take your money, go away kind of guy. WWE, you mentioned corporate. There's only one guy out there that really, for me anyways, is Kyle Busch. He runs his own company. He's got his own racing team.
Yeah, but Kyle can get a little mouthy. You got to watch. He can get a little bitchy sometimes.
Yeah, but you get the higher-ups there in WWE, they're going to be getting a little mouthy and bitchy sometimes. Come on, you got to get a little bit of kind of gruff. You got to get a little gruff sometimes.
The Candyman in WWE, I like it.
Was it M&M's and Skittles, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love me some M&M's and Skittles.
Oh, peanut butter M&M's are the shit.
Did you see... They actually, my wife got them the other day.
Not peanut M&M's, peanut butter M&M's.
No, I know. I knew exactly what you're saying, but they actually make a bag now. They have all three in one bag.
What?
The actual peanut M&M's, peanut butter M&M's, and then the original.
We haven't got that futuristic shit here in West Virginia yet. It'll take us 10 years before we get the mix back.
Well, yeah, but you have to go to that M&M tree outside and just shake it. Because we have the M&M tree here and we have a Skittles tree.
Before we talk about our next question here, I think it's only appropriate we talk about who done it again. Because this week, fucking Cassio comes on. And I don't know. It's, according to Conrad, it is an Anglo-Saxon shit.
So,
meaning, does that absolve Dave Silva of the shit?
Well. Perhaps.
And I think it puts the target right on Cassio's bald, fat, little chubby face.
I still say, did you also hear that? I doubt he got it from this show. Highly doubt it. But did you hear Conrad's comment? Hey, if the shit does not fit, you must acquit.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure I said that last week, or one of us did anyways.
It is what it is, but I think it's things ain't looking good for Cassio.
I still think,
or Big Booty Judy for that.
I don't know about that. I still say it's still my opinion. There's got to be a third shitter. There's got to be.
I don't know who else was there other than those people.
But thing, I've met both Dave Silva and you have as well, and Cassio and Judy and Mrs. Silva. And when Cassio drinks, he drinks. You know that.
Yeah, but I don't think he's drinking much anymore. I think right. He's kind of.
But when you drink a lot, you're at Conrad's, and as Cassio mentioned, hey, he pee a lot in his pool. What makes you think that, hey, you don't remember certain things? How do you know? How do you know somebody doesn't know the key or the, excuse me, the code to the gate and has a key to the door? They could sneak in. You know, maybe it was a drive-by shitting.
I know this. I feel like there has to be some camera evidence in Conrad's house. I'm sure he's got cameras up.
There has to be. Well, maybe
I cannot wait. If there's film, it's going to be the greatest thing.
It's an inside job. You see somebody in a fucking a mask come by and just do the whole spray paint across the cameras thing. It's got to be an inside job. I'm not going to name names or anything, but fuck, man. It's my philosophy. I don't think Cassio did it, and I don't think Dave Silva did it. I think there's a third shitter.
Larry Thompson.
Don't
I'm
pin
just
that
throwing
at,
it out there. I'm just
don't,
throwing it
don't,
out.
Don't pin that on me, Ricky Bobby. No, but I think that's my opinion. There's a third shooter. Hopefully we'll get that evidence very, very soon. Hopefully next week on WHW.
Yep.
We'll see.
I've met Larry Thompson. He's a good man. I'm sorry, Larry. I apologize for bringing up your name.
I have not had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Larry Thompson, that is, but anyways, from one Conrad to another, Conrad over at the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast, follow them on Twitter at EPW show. He asked, if you could take control of one storyline that happened on this show, what would it be and what would you change? And I think we're pretty much in agreement with this.
Yeah, it's definitely, we don't need 20 minutes for that fucking backstage scene. I mean, that is insane. They took 20 minutes just to stand there and stare at people waiting on an ambulance. And it's like, holy cow. I remember we watched this. If you guys go back in the What Happened When archives, we watched this with Conrad and Larry Thompson and Tony and did a live show from Loki Big Hog Weekend. And this was the episode of Nitro we watched. And I remember all of us I think they were Conrad and Tony making fun of just how long that backstage segment took. So definitely if I could control one thing, I would take us out after maybe 10, 12 minutes. We don't need 20 minutes of this bullshit back here.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even, there's just too many goddamn people back there. And I get that you want Hall and Nash, the Outsiders, NWO, whatever the hell you want to call them, to run rapshod on this whole damn roster. I get that, but why couldn't you just use the cruiserweights? I would just use Mysterio, Eddie, Benoit, Malenko. Just use those guys.
Yeah.
That you get that cheap heat. Oh, when you take guys out, you only take out the cruiserweights. You don't take anybody out like a Flair or Benoit or Arn or McMichael or whomever. You don't take out the bigger guys. You take out the smaller guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? You still can have the whole lawn dart thing. You still can have you get throwing them into the trailer. You still can have that. And along the same lines, you could still have it and still have it for a 10-minute segment, 15-minute segment at max. You don't have to have it a fucking half hour.
Yeah. Before we go, I did put my notes. That NWO segment. The NWO like commercial they did. Was that the first one they did like that, the black and white, or had they done that the week or two before?
The one previous to this? Was it the merchandise one, or was it just them promoting?
No, this one came after. This was toward the end, right before the Giant and Greg Valentine match.
I'm pretty sure they
did. And it was a pretty long little commercial segment, but it was actually really cool. I thought it was done well.
I'm pretty sure they did that when Hall and Nash came in. Right after they came in.
I don't know. I don't know if they did any of these black and white things until Hogan was with them. I'm thinking this may have been, if not the first, it's one of their,
it's one of the first. Yeah. It's one of the first ones. But yeah, that's something that I would change. And I know we'd agree to a certain extent on that, but I just, you want to prolong this as much as you can. And I know the whole feud between the Horsemen and the NWO, we'd get there.
Not only did it go 20 minutes, but they kept going back to it. Like at the end, and they showed the whole replay of everything, and they went back to the back again. And I'm like, holy shit, bro.
And the one thing that that you could still use was Heenan. Heenan getting up from commentary. You didn't know what the hell was going to happen.
And then Eric left because he had to go check on people.
Right. But it's like, you still can make that segment 5-10 minutes and still have all that secondary shit happen with Heenan and Eric and all that shit. You still can have that, I think. But it's just, don't take out all these guys. You have to wait a little bit. Take out the cruiserweights. Get that cheap, dastardly heel shit. You don't need that with that. You don't need that anything other than that. But
oh no, they've got El Dandy.
Oh no, Super Calo. But that'll do it for this week's episode. Next week, Justin, we are going, we're going to be going over Hog Wild 96, which was the first pay-per-view from the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, I'm pretty sure, correct? This is the first, yeah. So that's going to come to us. We're going to be covering that, I should say, next week. This was headlined by Hollywood Hogan and the Giant for the WCW World Heavyweight title. So a lot of stuff to unpack with that, as one Conrad Thompson usually says. But hopefully that I won't get like a cease and desist order from the gimmick attorney on that.
Busy these days. He's busy
with that. It's definitely going to be an interesting episode for us to unpack with that. But before we go, I want to give everybody a shout out with, you know, follow us across all your social medias at @_ringsiderant on Twitter and Instagram. He is at JD2040. Check out our merchandise store at ringsiderant.whatforapparel.com. Great new shirts over there as well. Subscribe across all your major podcasting platforms, Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, the Full Press Coverage, as well as the Visionaries Global Media. We are going to kick it over in just a short bit. Justin just has something he wants to mention before we head out. But we're going to head it over to Hornets Beard Guy for his monthly rant right here. So with that being said, Justin, you had something you wanted to touch briefly on before we send it over to Hornets Beard Guy.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank all these new questionnaires that we're getting, Conrad and Graham and everybody. Thank you for bringing in questions. Lori, everyone that listens, thank you guys. Next week, we are going to have something a little new and different. We're going to introduce just a little short segment at the end, and I'm just going to leave it, I think, as a surprise for everyone. But I can tell you, I think it's going to be fun. And so tune in next week and we'll have something a little different at the end of the show for you.
Yes, we are going to be doing I'll give you a little hint. We are going to be doing the whole show topless.
Hey, I already did that.
Yeah, we're going to get habit.
Just be glad I have pants on. All right, just be glad.
It's kind of intriguing. No, I'm not. Anyways, let's head over to Hornets Beard Guy now. Thanks, guys, for tuning in this week. Make sure you follow him on Twitter as well. And thank you, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Hey, Hornets Beard Guy, by the way, nice song you put on Twitter this week.
I saw that. I forgot about that. Yeah, mentioned that too. Go check that out. Go follow him on social media. He'll give all his handles out at the end of his little segment and his little spiel. So thanks to him for joining us this week. And I think we'll let you know when he's
changing my name. Instead of Hornets Beard Guy, I'm going to be Red's Beer Guy. Not beard, beer. Red's Beer Guy. That's my new name on Twitter.
Well, it's got to be better than what you have. Can't be any worse. Anyways, let's send it over to Hornets Beard Guy, and we'll see you next week right here on the Ringside Rant.
What's going on out there, ranters? It's your old buddy, your old pal. It's me, it's me, it's HBG, and I'm on here once again with a couple ranters. That's right, and I'm going to be ranting about the July 29th, 1996 episode of Monday Night Nitro, or as I like to call it. If this were an episode of Friends, it would be entitled The One Where Rey Mysterio is Used as a Lawn Dart. But I got to be honest with you, I was 8 years old at the time. This is really where I thought, you know, that pro wrestling was real. This is where the lines were blurred for me. You start off with a great episode. You give away a main event, such as the Horseman versus Luger, Sting and Macho as the second match. Of course, as it is with protocol with Monday Night Nitro, you start off the program with Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It was either him or Johnny B. Bad, let's be honest. But, I really dig those outdoor nitros. They were always cool, in my opinion. And then, midway through the show, actually not even midway, after that second match, we get this cool NWO takeover. You know, the cops were called. The fire trucks were out there. I truly thought, you know, when the Mouth of the South, when Jimmy Hart, of course, at the time representing the Dungeon of Doom, comes down, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be some kind of interference. Kevin Sullivan, the Dungeon of Doom, they're finally going to get their man in Chris Benoit. But no, you had this really cool NWO takeover. Kevin Nash just absolutely launches Rey Mysterio into the side of the trailer like a lawn dart. So you got to kind of start mixing it up a bit. We don't get to see that cruiserweight match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. Instead, we got Eddie Guerrero versus Big Bubba from the Dungeon of Doom. The Giant versus Double A Arn Anderson for the title, the world belt. I actually preferred this over the original main event, which would have been Greg Valentine versus the Giant. But you know what? The NWO takeover absolutely saved. It absolutely saved this episode. I really popped for those black and white NWO political ads, even though as an 8-year-old kid, as I said, I truly believe this segment. I think I even told my mom to call the police. Of course, I'm talking about that NWO, you know, assault of the backstage locker room. So yeah, and that's all I got. HBG, follow me on Twitter @HornetsBeardGuy, and that's another Beard Guy rant for this week.